Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. This is Sunday, April the 25th, 2021. We are again in lockdown. This is lockdown number three, Sunday number one. We'll be locked down for about four Sundays, and so this is the first one of the month. Welcome to you in the name of the Lord. I can see you all sitting here in spirit. And just want to help us to have a time together in the presence of the Lord to worship Him. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your watchful care over us always. And even in these days of further lockdown, we know that you are still watching out for us and looking after this, your creation and this, your world, and certainly us as your children and as a local church. We rejoice greatly in who you are and thank you for all that you have done on our behalf. Thank you for our salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that we have great hope even today of eternity and being in your presence forever. I pray that as folks are listening to service this morning, that you might bless each one, that you might help us to be patient through all of this and to trust you with our very lives and with the whole situation that's going on. And we certainly pray for an end to this pandemic and the lockdowns, and that you would be pleased to bring good health back into this world and into our country as well. Bless, we pray, in the next few moments that we have together here. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Have some special music for you this morning. Hymn, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. You are welcome to sing along where you are, along with them. This is being sung by Charlotte Ritchie, Ivan Parker, and friends. And I trust that you will enjoy the message. It is well presented, and the words are certainly important, and I trust you might focus in on that. Enjoy just now. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Oh,
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read through verse 1 to 12 this morning as our scripture reading. So I invite you to open up your Bibles and to Proverbs 3 and just follow along as we read verses 1 through 12. Solomon is the penman for the book of Proverbs. And he, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, pens these words, chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word this morning. The bulletin is posted on the church website, BerianBaptistLondon.org. You just need to scroll down to the bulletin link, and it'll open up to the various bulletins that we have posted there, so you can get today's bulletin there. Also, just a reminder that Audrey Lawrence is our missionary of the month. I trust that you are keeping her before the throne of grace in prayer and just remembering her. We also want to let you know that Greg Little, who had contracted the COVID-19 virus down in St. Lucia, is doing very well these days. He's recovering with no problem. His symptoms were mild anyways, but and the family is all doing well at this point in time as well. So we want to thank the Lord for his grace to the Little family. And then also, just to let you know, you'll read it in the bulletin, but I thought I should make it making a public announcement for you. Today, April the 25th, was supposed to be our mortgage challenge offering Sunday. And of course, we're not here together to take up that offering. Some folks gave that offering last Sunday. Some folks have brought in their mortgage challenge offering through the week. And just a couple have sent their offering in through e-transfer. So today, based on what has come in last week, I am pleased to let you know and thankful to the Lord, not only for what has come in for the mortgage challenge, but thankful to the Lord for you all and your faithfulness to him through this church. The special offering that was received for the mortgage challenge last Sunday amounted to $6,900. And so we have a total monies on hand in the mortgage challenge of $28,202. And the mortgage is, at the end of March, $31,942. So we only need $3,740 left to be able to pay off finally the mortgage that we have on our building. And I know that some are making their offerings through the variety of means we have, even today. And so thank you all for that. Praise the Lord. Just about $3,700 left to put together, and we will be able to pay off the balance of our mortgage on May the 6th. Let me just go before the Lord once again in prayer and remember some of these things. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, once again for your wonderful work in our lives, your faithfulness, your provisions for us as a church family. In this, our coming up to our 25th church anniversary, what a wonderful blessing it'll be to have that mortgage paid off this year and free up some monies that we can redirect to other necessary things. And we just want to thank you and praise you, glorify your name for your good work in the life of our church. We also want to pray for Audrey this morning, our missionary of the month. We thank you so much for her here in our church these days, week by week and day by day. Thank you for the work that you have sent her to do at Send Missions out in Kamoka in the head office. We pray for her strength by your grace and abilities that you have given to her to fulfill those tasks that are necessary in that home office. We pray also for her ongoing health concerns, that you might be pleased to lead and direct her to the right people that can help her deal with this, perhaps fix it for her in her hearing. We just would ask, Lord, that you would pour out your great blessings upon her, for her faithfulness, for her love for you, love for missions, love for missionaries, and just how well she looks out for them in her particular mission and area of work. So we just want to commend her to your grace and to the throne of grace this morning. Thank you also for being with Greg and Amanda and the little family. Thank you that they are doing okay after Greg getting the COVID-19 virus. We rejoice, Lord, that it wasn't a serious bout that he had, but rather a mild occasion. Still disconcerting, I'm sure, but we thank you that they are doing fine, and also the blessing that you have given to them, that they can quarantine in their own home rather than in the hospital. We know, Lord, that you are looking out for them and providing for that blessing in their lives as well. We thank you, Lord, for each one who is a part of Berean Baptist in these days, for just for the way that you look after and look out for each one of us, and then us together as a local church. We would pray that you would continue to guide and direct us into the days ahead, that you would provide what is necessary for each one during these lockdown days. We pray for our governing leaders, Prime Minister Trudeau, we think of Premier Ford, and our own mayor that and council, that you would somehow, Lord, work your will, your way, your righteousness into their very lives and into the decisions that are made. We remind ourselves that it's righteousness that exalts a nation, and evil is a rebuke to any people. And so we just ask that you would help our governing leaders to do that which is right in your sight, not in their own eyes or in their own political schemes of things, but that they might do what is right in your eyes and what is right for the people of this country. We pray for the salvation of our Prime Minister, our Premier, and our Mayor. If they do not know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that you might bring somebody into their life and experience that could tell them that that they are sinners and need a Savior, and that they would be willing to trust Christ as their Savior and be saved from their sins. And so we hold up that prayer item before you, Lord. We know that our country of Canada is not perfect, that in many ways we have experienced your chastisement upon us as a country. And we just want to admit and to confess that, yes, we have sinned against you individually as a nation, and that we need to repent of that sin and come back to full righteousness and trust in thyself. And we pray that you might do that work in us and other countries around the world, that your name might be glorified and people might be saved and have great hope for the future because of our faith in Christ. Thank you so much for this building that you have provided for us. We sense, Lord, your providential hand upon us as we bought this building and moved into it, perhaps even for the days in which we are living right now, which gives us excellent access into this place, no steps, and big enough that when we do have a percentage restrictions that we can accommodate just about everybody in that time period. So we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We look forward to our 25th church anniversary coming up in the fall, and trust, Lord, you'll be able to bless that day as well. Thank you for giving us this avenue to spend in your presence through prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together our prayer chorus, "It Will Be Worth It All." I will not sing it for you. We'll play it with a group, and you can sing along with them while we do the prayer chorus. And now I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. This portion of the scripture is so encouraging and helpful and edifying for all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have titled this chapter as Benefits of Wisdom. Yet another has titled it as Wisdom Bestows Well-Being. And another, Wisdom from Trusting God. I've chosen to title the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 3 as, quote, "How to Have God's Blessing in Your Life," end quote. Picking up what is said in verse 4, which says, "So shalt thou find favor," that's blessing, "and good understanding in the sight of God and man." We talk about God's blessings, and so we should, but often think that the blessings come just because, or just because God loves to pour out good things upon us as his children. But Proverbs 3 tells us that the favor and good understanding come from God when we conduct ourselves as believers in certain ways. Now, God is always gracious and merciful, but we can do something to assure ourselves of his blessings by following his word and heeding the exhortations given in it. So, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 this morning. How to have God's blessing in your life. These few verses, the first 12 verses, can be divided into two parts. Number one, how to find peace and favor, verses 1 through 4. And number two, exhortations to heed for peace and favor, verses 5 through 12. So, number one, how to find peace and favor, that's verse 1 through 4. And number two, exhortations to heed for peace and favor, verses 5 through 12. So, let's dig in a little bit deeper here. Number one, how to find peace and favor. Here are the first four verses again. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. These words are directed to, quote, my son. And the question is, who is this? The penman of Proverbs is King Solomon for the most part. There are a few chapters written by others, but Solomon is the main writer. And you can look at chapter 1, verse 1 for that information. So to whom is he penning these words? It seems that to me that there are three clear options. In fact, all of them might be right when we look at this situation. First of all, the first option is that Solomon is writing to his own biological son, whoever that may be. Can you imagine how many sons Solomon must have had with 700 wives and 300 concubines? Can't even imagine how many there would have been. There is one son that we do know about. His name was Rehoboam. He was the one that inherited the kingdom after Solomon died. And it was Rehoboam's unwise decisions that brought about the dividing of Israel into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. It is quite obvious that Rehoboam did not listen to his father's counsel. The other option for my son would be that of a student to a teacher. A teacher referring to his student as my son. A classroom setting could be considered for, or a private tutor, perhaps, as the instructor is teaching his student. And then the third option for my son, set in the context of the inspired word of God, is any and every believer listening to the voice of God, in which case, this would refer to anyone who is seeking wisdom for life and living. And that, my beloved, will include us today who are seeking God's blessing. As I said, perhaps all three scenarios may be in view, and we'll keep them in mind. In this first part, in verses 1 through 4, there are five instructions given in this section and five outcomes. If you obey the instructions, then this is what will come about. That's the scenario that's being pictured for us here. So let's take a look. Number one, forget not my law is the first instruction. To forget means to be oblivious to, either from want of memory or attention. It means to ignore. And we're told not to forget my law. My law, in the context, must mean the law of Solomon. He's writing the statements here, and so my law must refer to Solomon's law. And the word law is Torah. And I suspect that Solomon's law would have come from the law of God. He was a very wise man in many respects. It's a wonderful thing when the things we set for ourselves as guidance and statutes and law are the things we learn from the Word of God. It is like the Apostle Paul saying, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Solomon got his law from the law of God, and now he's just passing it on to his son in a personal manner, in a personal way. But we must not ignore or be oblivious to the word of God through inattention. Let us keep in the book. Second instruction is, let thine heart keep my commandments. My commandments, once again, similar to my law. My commandments are things that would come from the scriptures, God's word. And notice what and where we are to do with my commandments. He says, keep them in thine heart. To keep means to guard, to observe, to obey, or to watch over. And where are we to keep these things? Text says, in our heart. By the way, did you notice the personal pronouns throughout this passage of Scripture? It is thy, thine, and thou, second person singular. This is a personal work. Each one of us are to keep God's word in our hearts, an individual endeavor. We are responsible to do that, each one of ourselves. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for somebody else. We must do it for ourselves. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." How important is it to keep God's word in our heart? Now notice what the penman says would be the results of not forgetting the law and keeping the commandments. He says, "Length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee," verse 2. To keep the law and commandments would keep us then from falling into destructive habits of life which tend to shorten life and to take away our peace. So if we're keeping the word of God in our very lives, there are things that we will not do because God says thou shalt not. And in obeying those commandments, we will keep ourselves from getting into those destructive habits that would tend to shorten life, take away our peace. So the instruction is for our well-being and our living. Not just for the here and now, but for eternity. Instruction number 3 is in verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." Did you know that mercy and truth are together in 23 verses of our Bibles? Here's just a couple of examples. In Psalm 86, verse 15, we read, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Plenteous in mercy and truth. Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." There in that verse, you can see through the poetic expression of parallelism that mercy and truth are parallel with the word evil here, it would seem to me, and perhaps even by the phrase, the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 20, verse 28, "Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy." How we need to pray for mercy and truth in the lives of our governing leaders, the king. It will preserve the king if they will simply adhere to mercy and truth. So mercy and truth, as we can see, are components of God's attributes. If we forsake them, mercy and truth, which forsake means to loosen or to relinquish, if we forsake mercy and truth, we put ourselves in a very contemptible place, a dangerous place. We, in effect, step away from God, and we would cut ourselves off from his compassion and from his grace. Not that as Christians we would lose our salvation, but we would sure lose the joy of our fellowship with our Savior. And you don't want to do that, do you? I know you don't. We must keep mercy and truth close by as part of our very makeup in our being. And this is to be safe in the arms of Jesus. It will keep us safe there. Now, what should we do with mercy and truth? Well, the next verse says, gives us two instructions. Number 4, bind them, that is mercy and truth, about thy neck. And number 5, write them on the table of thine heart. To bind them about thy neck is as putting a chain, a necklace around our very neck, something that is visible, that others can see. Writing them on the table of thine heart is invisible to others, but certainly visible to God. So both outwardly, binding them around our neck, and inwardly, writing them in our heart, we must hang on to mercy and truth, which are two terms that direct us to Almighty God. And what will be the result if we do that, or when we do that? The Bible says in verse 4, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Favor means grace, kindness, and blessing. You'll find blessing in the sight of God and man. And understanding, in the good understanding phrase, understanding means intelligence, insight, good sense, wisdom. And so men see the outward aspect of our life. And if we put mercy and truth and bind them around our neck as a chain, they will see the favor and wisdom that comes from God to man. And when we write mercy and truth on our heart, God will see the favor and wisdom at work in our very lives. Seems to me that's just blessings all around. Outwardly, inwardly, to God, to men, and we will find that blessing to be the greatest thing in our lives these days. So that's verses 1 through 4 and the instructions that are given to my son. And now, the penman of Proverbs, Solomon, turns to some exhortations. Now, we're only going to briefly consider these this morning. Each one of them are worth a whole sermon in and of itself. But we'll just keep it concise here this morning to perhaps whet your appetite a little bit, to dig in and meditate a little bit further on each of them. In the exhortations, there are four statements made with the accompanying results if we do what is exhorted. The first one in verses 5 and 6 is, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. These verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, are verses that I took to be my life verse when I came back to the Lord at the age of 18. The times when I didn't trust the Lord, my way was pretty rocky and hard. How much better to trust him? I was saved when I was 7, but as a teenager, I kind of drifted away from walking with the Lord. But he got a hold of my life at age 18, which was providential. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 became the verses that he used in my life to really set my life in a direct and a better pathway. And I thank him for that. What is it to trust the Lord? Well, in these two verses, we learn that to trust the Lord is, first of all, not depend or lean on our own understanding. Those things are opposite, right? We want to trust the Lord, not depend upon our own understanding. It is also to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, rather than our own selfish ways. Fully dependent upon the Lord, who is all-wise and all-knowing, is to trust him. Why should we trust our own feeble understanding when we can trust our loving, gracious, merciful, omnipotent, omniscient, and true Savior? Common sense would say you need to trust the Lord rather than yourself. And what will be the result of trusting the Lord? He will direct thy paths. That is, God will make our paths straight and even. He'll smooth out the potholes and smooth down the bumps in the road so that our way is easily traveled. It is a narrow way, as Jesus taught, to heaven. But it will be smoothly taken if we will simply trust the Lord. And not only will he direct our, smooth out the roadway for us, straighten it, but he will direct us down the road in which we should go. The second exhortation is in verse 7 and 8. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And coupled with that is depart from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes, right? Fear the Lord. To fear the Lord is to reverence him, to give him glory, to acknowledge the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and in our church. Fear the Lord. Give him all glory and praise. To fear the Lord is to acknowledge the greatness of God, that he is the Almighty, the Creator, the Sovereign, the Judge of all the earth, and the Justifier of all who believe on the Lord Jesus. We don't have to fear man around us, don't even have to fear a virus. We need to fear the Lord because our eternal well-being is there in his gracious hands. And what is the result of fearing the Lord? It says in verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. May I suggest to you that this implies physical well-being and strength. Marrow in your bones is going to give you strong bones and strength in your body. So physical well-being and strength, precisely because we won't be putting ourselves into evil circumstances and life-threatening lifestyle. If we fear the Lord, there are some things we will not do, and those things we will not do are evil things which can impact upon our very life, living, and health. So fear the Lord. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Third exhortation is honor the Lord in verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord, and the text says, with thy substance and thy first fruits. May I suggest to you that this is to acknowledge that all good things we enjoy in life come from the hand of God. God is good. He gives us the rains and the seasons. He gives us fruit in the fields and harvest time. He is good to us. I believe that it honors the Lord when we give our tithes and offerings to the Lord through the local church, honoring the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits. It tells him we trust him and depend upon him for all our livelihood and needs. We honor the Lord when we return thanks for our food at mealtime, when we thank the Lord for his blessings. We honor the Lord when he provides for our needs, and we thank him for that and give him the glory. And so honor the Lord. We honor the Lord when we honor our mothers and fathers, when we honor widows, when we honor the Lord Jesus, and when we honor one another. And I will say to you that we can't do any of those things well if we don't honor the Lord above all. So honor the Lord. What is the result of honoring the Lord? Text says, he will fill our barns with plenty and burst our presses with new wine. God will bless our lives with material things like food and drink, things that we need to survive. So let us honor the Lord always. The fourth exhortation is, I'm using the word, respect the Lord in verses 11 and 12. The verse says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And so to keep to our outline, I've chosen to put the negative, despise not, into a positive, which is the word respect. There are several antonyms, those things which are opposites, antonyms for the word despise, such as accept, approve, cherish, adore, and appreciate, but I like the word respect best of all. To respect the Lord. especially in those times when he brings chastening into our lives. This exhortation really needs much more time to unpack the chastening of the Lord and what the Bible teaches about that. And we'll do that some other time. But the thing to note this morning is that the chastening of the Lord is an integral part of his blessing and favor in our lives. Do you find that hard to believe? At our natural human level, that's impossible. How can chastisement be part of God's blessing and favor? But it is, as we will see in just a moment. And remember that God only chastises his own children. So, with your Bibles, turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. There are a number of places in the scripture that speak about God's chastening hand, but Hebrews 12 is a pretty good presentation of it here for us as Christians. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 11. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Notice verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, that is, our fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. That's verse 12. Did you notice that verse 6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens? And if the chastening of the Lord is proof that we are his children, that we are sons and daughters of God, and that come down to verse 10, our fathers have chastened us after their own pleasure, but God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And if we yield to the chastening hand of God, according to verse 11, then it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so the chastisement of God is part of his blessing and favor in our lives. It proves that we are his children. And thank the Lord for that. Job 5:17 says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. He does it for our well-being. What's the result of God's chastening? Well, it assures us that God loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. It is because the Lord delights in us as his children that he chastises us, to keep us on the narrow road, to keep us from continuing in sin, to direct our steps into his mercy and truth, and to provide for his blessings in our lives. I know this message has been a little long this morning, and I simply would ask you to take some time on your own to meditate further on these 12 verses in Proverbs chapter 3. It will indeed bless your heart. And as you heed them and keep them and obey them, the Lord indeed will bring his favor upon you. How can you have God's blessing in your life? Trust him with the direction of your life. Fear him for health and well-being physically. Honor him with your substance. And respect the Lord when he chastens. May God help us to put these instructions and exhortations into our lives. And then expect the results, as the word of God states, will come for those who are exercised thereby. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning, the opportunity to work through it a little bit. Thank you for giving us these instructions, these exhortations, that we might be assured in our own hearts and minds of your blessing and favor and good understanding in our lives before thyself and before the men who are around us. May they see your goodness and your blessing in us that might encourage them to trust you as well. I pray that you will take your word and plant it deeply into our hearts and minds. Help us to carefully think and meditate upon those things you have said to us. Bless your word just now and us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my beloved, that's service for today. I trust that you will have a good rest of the day. I certainly do miss you. Here, even though, as I said at the start, I see you in your place in spirit, but we'll look forward to trusting the Lord while we're apart for this little while. Just know that we can have 10 people indoors during this lockdown, and so we're still maintaining prayer meeting. We had 4 out for prayer meeting last Wednesday morning, so got room for a little bit, few more in the morning, and we had 9 out in the evening prayer time, so that one's a little closer to the 10, but still, there is room. We invite you to come and participate in prayer meeting during these days. Thank you. God bless you. And until next time, Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26 says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." God bless. We are dismissed.